Love you too, man.
All right, thank you guys. Give me just a second here. All right, like Jet said, my name's Paul. I've come to this camp, I think since the first time it happened, 11 years ago. Mostly led worship, just like that, for the first few years. And then the last couple, I've had a real privilege to be a counselor. Even though Xander, Jaden, and Esteban are making my life a little bit hard this week, but it's okay, because I still love them, I guess. All right, so does anybody know what today's topic is? Okay, identity? That's right. So it was interesting. Last night when Kyle was sharing, he shared some about his testimony, and that kind of tied into what I'm wanting to share with you guys today. And so what I want to do is kind of talk about what our identity is, and then share part of my testimony from before I understood that, and then part of my testimony from after I understood that, and kind of show you guys the difference and kind of the strength that knowing your identity gives you. And so starting out, Will kind of touched on this, Dr. Poppycock, as Kyle has affectionately nicknamed him. He kind of talked a little bit about it, right, when he was talking about how we talk about ourselves, right? And so what did he say that we are? Does anybody remember? All right, it was something positive. It started with an R. Royalty, okay. That we are royalty, we are sons and daughters of who? Okay, of God. And so that's obviously, you know, when he talked about that, that's what our identity is, but we sometimes forget exactly what that means, right? Sometimes we're taught something a little bit different. And so I want to kind of go through what I was taught when I was, you know, first saved. And it was kind of half of that. It was, yes, we are children of God, but that means, like, now when you understand that, when you accept that, well, that's when the hard work begins, right? So as soon as you get saved, okay, like, here is this list of things you have to do, things you can't do, and that's the list that we really liked, right, back in those days, is we really liked that list of things we can't do. And we loved to talk about how we don't do them, but others do, right? Like, I might have some problems in my life, but I'm better than that lady in the third row over there who's, not literally, don't look over there. There's no lady over there. But that lady in church, you know, I'm at least I'm not doing things she's doing, right? And we tend to do that, and we compare ourselves to others to make ourselves feel better. And so that's kind of what I was raised around, what I was taught, whether they meant to or not, that's what I was learning, was, okay, well, it's kind of a competition, you know, at least if I'm messing up, I'm not messing up as bad as somebody else. And so there was a particular scripture that I learned at that time that I didn't really fully understand what it meant. And so it's Galatians 2:20, and Jack will put it up on the screen. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that's a great scripture, right? It's empowering. But if it's taught wrong, like it was to me, then not so much, because Christ might live in me, but I was taught that Christ is kind of a judgmental guy, right? It was a lot of pressure. It was like I had to live up to what he wanted me to do, and he really didn't want me to have any fun. That's really what I learned initially, was if it was fun, I should probably not do it, right? Like, if you're a Christian, you're going to be kind of miserable because you're not going to be able to do anything with your friends and, you know, that kind of watch Harry Potter. Well, you know, whatever it was that you know, parents of our generation really love to harp on. And so that's what I was taught, especially when I got saved. Now, I got saved in church camp just like this, but less fun. And so I learned, basically right when I got saved, I started to get that list. As soon as I got back to church that Sunday, it was like, oh, congratulations, you're saved. Now it's going to suck. That was kind of, you know, what I was taught whenever I got there. And so I got saved, and then about a year after that, I had my dad came down with basically early dementia. And so he's a little bit young for it, but through my teenage years, he suffered from violent mood swings, and he just became a totally different person than I knew, the first part of my life. And so when you're first a teenager your guy's age, when you're dealing with that, that can be really difficult, right? Because I would get in trouble for things I didn't do, and nobody likes that. He would get, abusive at certain points. And so that was really hard when I was a teenager. And at the same time, church, which is supposed to be kind of my safe place, it was the opposite, right? It was, oh, well, you must be doing something bad if you're always in trouble, and you're probably sinning and probably going to hell. And I think I got saved at every church camp. I think I probably have the record for the most consecutive saved summers, because I just got saved every June. Every year growing up. And so that kind of ties back into kind of the opposite of what Kyle was talking about last night with eternal security. I had about, I would say, annual security. I was saved for like a year. And then, I got to renew it like an annual subscription. And so that's what I thought it was. I thought God just got mad at me and I got to start over and it was just never ending. And then a little while after that, and this kind of also ties into some of what Kyle was talking about, is I had two major events, and these are kind of deep, and if you guys have ever gone through anything like this, come and talk to me or another counselor. But when I was 13, I was then sexually abused. And then after that, I went to my church, to a leader, and basically told them what happened, and they told me in a roundabout way that it was basically my fault, and that I needed to repent, I needed to ask God for forgiveness, I needed to tell my parents, and those things that wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to tell them, because I was kind of scared of them at the time, and so I'm not going to tell them. I didn't understand how I was supposed to ask for forgiveness for that, because it wasn't something I wanted, but I was being told that it was still my fault. And so I didn't know what to do. I started to get away from church. I was still going, but I wasn't really paying attention. I didn't like it. I didn't like God at the time, because I thought he was mad at me for something that I didn't do. And so I started to separate myself. And when we talk about how we get separated from God, it's never God leaving us or God separating himself. Most of the time it's us. Right, we just kind of stop praying. We stop. Jaden said something really good last night in our devotional, which is it's how you know miracles happen. No, I'm just kidding. But he said that whenever you talk to somebody every day, you get closer to them. So if you have a friend, you can go a few days without talking to your friend, right? And you'll still be friends. You can go, depending on how good of a friend, you can go weeks, months, whatever it is. But you're not going to be as close to them unless you talk every day, right? Even if it's, I send Jed stupid memes all the time, reels, whatever. But we're talking every day, just about. And so you get closer to somebody when you do that, when you talk to them, even if it's about stupid stuff or whatever. It's like you're still getting closer to that person. And that's what I wasn't doing at that time. I wasn't talking to him. I was scared of him. I thought he was mad at you. Most of the time, whenever we think someone's mad at us, we're not going to talk to them, right? We're not going to try to hang out with them. We're not going to try to converse with them. We tend to avoid them. Have you ever seen somebody, if you're in Walmart or something like that, and you walk down an aisle, and at the end of that aisle, you see somebody that you think's mad at you, or you're mad at them, and you're like, oh, I need something over here. I actually don't need anything down this aisle. I can go without bread. I'm going to go over here. And so that's kind of what I was doing with God, right? Anytime I thought about praying, I was like, dude, that guy's mad at me. I'm going to go down this other aisle. And that other aisle had some pretty stupid and destructive things on it, but it was better than talking to this guy that's mad at me. All right, and so that kind of kept going, and I kind of spiraled. And then I also got into what Kyle was talking about last night, and eventually when I was 15, I tried to take my own life. And I talked about this last year, if you guys were here in a morning service. You guys probably weren't awake for it, because no one is. But I talked a little bit about that, and at that point, I was obviously unsuccessful. And after that happened, I saw God do something in my life that is one of the main points I want you guys to get out of this, outside of the identity portion that we'll talk about in a second, which is God started to supernaturally place people in my life that would help me for the rest of life, right? So Dr. Poppycock has talked about this at our church, and he called it finding your tribe, right? And it's finding that circle of people in your life that are going to help you kind of weather storms that come, right? Because after we get saved, that doesn't mean life is great. Even if we understand our identity, even if we understand the grace of God, life still happens. You know, we live in a fallen world. We live where people have free will, and they use that free will to do some really stupid, hurtful things. And so that we still run into that. And so God started to place certain people in my life. Right after the summer that I attempted that, I then, you know, took a class. It was my junior year in high school, and I took a biology class, and these two kids I knew from marching band were in that class, and they sat next to me, and they're still friends with me to this day. And it's Jed, who was just talking, and then his wife. And so God placed them there, and they've been there with me through everything else that's happened. And then right after that, I started going to the church I go to now, and I'm at Cecil and Mista, and they've been kind of like my backup parents, so to speak. And so I met them, and then shortly after, I met my wife, who I won't point out because that will be another brush with death if I do that, because I know she won't like that. But there's people behind her pointing at her. Anyway, yeah, over there. And then I met my wife, and then through my wife, I met Amanda and Kyle. And so then I had this kind of circle of friends in my inner circle that would help me weather the storm no matter what came. But even more important than them, was when we started to understand what the finished work of the cross really meant. That it wasn't this thing that was an annual subscription, like I talked about. It was eternal security. It was understanding that what Jesus did at the cross doesn't expire. You know, I would hear people say, oh, well, Jesus forgives your sins past, present, and future. And then in the same breath say, oh, but you got to forgive, or you got to ask for forgiveness every single time you sin. That didn't make sense to me. But also, none of it really made sense at the time, so I just, you know, you kind of ignore that and kind of, you know, never go and read the book of Romans and a couple other books because they just don't make any sense when you have that mindset. And so I want to kind of demonstrate what that really looks like with a little illustration here. So I need a volunteer. Okay, Briley, come up here. Okay. I only have so many hands, so I need help for this. All right, so this is one of my son's toys that really illustrates this really well. I'm making sure he doesn't run up here and try to steal it. Okay, so you see this little guy?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's you.
Okay.
All right, that's you. And so this is what I was taught at first, was once you get saved, once you say the prayer of salvation, whatever it is, okay, and then you have this little Jesus. Have you guys seen these around? Yeah, the people leave them. It's like the New Age tracks, just no words. But yeah, so we've got a little Jesus, and so open it up. And so there. Now Jesus is inside me, right? I'm saved. Jesus is inside me. The problem is, what I say earlier, Jesus is kind of judgmental right now in this mindset. So it's like, great, now I've got the ultimate surveillance system, because now Jesus can see he's got like a front row seat to all my screw-ups. So that's not that great, but that's what I believed. And I based that off that first part of Galatians where it says that Christ is in you. Well, the problem was I didn't understand the next part of that, which is, here we go. All right, so this is Jesus. It's a cute little chicken thing, but it's Jesus. Just ignore the chicken part. All right, open that. Put that in there. Okay, don't kill Jesus again. Like, don't do that. Okay. All right. There we go. Okay. So, Now I am in Christ, right? You hear? Have you guys heard that in your churches? Hopefully. Looking at you, Kyle and Amanda. Hopefully you guys have heard that you are now in Christ. And so this illustration, by the way, I stole this from Cecil, but I changed it enough where he can't spiritually sue me for copyright infringement. So he uses like these big containers and they're labeled, and I'm using kids' bath toys because that's who I am. Okay, so when you're God and you're now looking at this, what do you see? Do you see you? Do you see Briley? Not this Briley, but the little orange one. Nope. Who do you see? All right. So that's what God sees when he sees us. He doesn't see our mess ups, right? He doesn't see the sin that was inside of us before the little Jesus was in there, right? He just sees his son. He sees himself, right? And so when we talk about, oh, we're the judgment day when we die and all of that, we kind of be a little bit fearful of that. I know growing up, I thought, oh, he's going to have like a highlight reel of all my sins and I'm going to have to stand there and watch it. But the thing is, even if that was true, when he looks, he's not going to see me. He's going to see Jesus, right? Thank you. Well, it's a bath toy. So don't be so critical. Okay. Does that make sense to everyone? So when he sees you, he sees the royalty that Will was talking about, right? He doesn't see, you know, when we mess up, when we lie about something, when we do anything else you want to call a sin. He sees his son there, and he has already paid it all. He's already finished. Now, I'm not saying we can go out and do whatever we want there, right? That's kind of what we get accused of when we say that. But we don't, because there's regular consequences to some of those sins, right? So we talked about this in our cabin last night. Like, if you lie to somebody, there's consequences to that outside of eternal damnation, right? People don't like you. You can get hurt if you lie about the wrong thing. There's all kinds of things that can happen. But when it comes to the spiritual side of it, that sin doesn't have the spiritual power that we used to think it did. It has no spiritual power. It doesn't have any power to keep you out of heaven anymore. Once you accept Christ, once you understand what he did, it doesn't matter how bad you mess up, whether you lie, cheat, steal, all of the stuff that Kyle listed in his lovely resume last night. It doesn't matter what you do, God still loves you. And I'm going to steal another phrase from Cecil. He's not mad at you like I was thinking. God's mad about you. He loves you so much more than you can ever understand. You know, my son is back there, and I love, yeah, I just flipped around when I said that. Just wandering around doing whatever he's doing. You know, I love him. I would do anything for him. I would die for him. I can't describe how much love I have for him, but I still in that can't even fathom how much our Heavenly Father loves us. Like, as much as I want to think I'm a good dad, or as much as I think of all the good dads I know in my life, none of them compare to how much our Father loves us. And so if I would not send him to eternal damnation, then I'm certainly not going to send, I know that God's not going to send us, as long as we just believe in him. That's all we have to do, is just believe, and that's it. And so what I'm not saying is that, like I kind of touched on earlier, things are still going to happen in your life, right? But once you understand that, once you understand that security, you understand how much God loves you, the way you make it through those things is so different. And so after I understood that, the second part of my testimony I talked about, I went through losing both of my parents in very hard ways. And I had that circle of friends around me that supported me, that were there for me. And so between that and then understanding that God loved me, I could handle that so much better. Because, like, for example, when my mom passed away, it was a couple weeks before camp, and we were playing worship, Kyle, Jed, and my wife and I. And I didn't understand at the time why she wasn't healed. You know, she was in the hospital for a month, and we were praying for her every day. When she passed away, I just didn't understand. And I mean, I still don't, but I also understand God's love now and my identity. And so when I stood back there and I'm back in that corner after worship and Bill was doing one of his little prayer tunnel thingies, and I was just so mad that God hadn't healed my mom. And I just didn't understand. And I remember thinking, like, one of the kids came through and got healed for something. I remember sitting back there, and my wife was sitting next to me, and I told her, I don't understand why he can do that, but not for me, right? And in that moment, one of the main differences from before I understood the finished work is I would have thought, oh, the gravest sin I could do is be mad at God. Right? Like, you can't do that. He's God. Like, you can't be mad at him. But even when we don't understand things, and maybe we do get a little mad when something happens and we don't understand it, God still loves you. That eternal security that Kyle talked about, that doesn't change. No matter how we feel, right? And then Will was talking about how we feel and our emotions and changing those thoughts. Having those negative ones at times when you go through things doesn't change how God feels about you. Right? God still loves you. God still wants the best for you. He's still mad about you, no matter how we feel or how what we're going through. And then shortly after that happened, and this is the last little part of my testimony I'll talk about, my wife and I found out that we weren't able to have children. And so that was another thing to kind of add on to all of this stuff that's happening. And you'll see in both of these sides of my testimony, it tends to hit in waves, right? And sometimes life's like that, right? Well, it seems like when one thing goes wrong, everything goes wrong. And so at that moment, right after I lose my mom and go through all that, then I find out I can't give my wife the one thing that she wants more than anything that we talked about for years. And so that was another time where I was like, God, like, what is going on? Like, I'm losing people. I can't add people. Like, what's happening here? But I was able to keep that faith because I understood that God wasn't this judgmental bully that was just doing all these bad things in my life, right? It's just that life happens sometimes. And now obviously the one reason I wanted to end with that one is that one turned out a little bit different because obviously I have a child running around that I just talked about. And so we were able to have one and have a miracle kid over there who understands he's a miracle and acts like it. But what I really want to get across to you guys this morning, more than anything, is understanding just how much God loves you, right? And that whenever you guys accept this gift, that you get a clean slate. But the difference is, it's a clean slate that stays clean, right? When we do, like I said, when we mess up, when we do things, it doesn't get dirty and then you have to go back to God and ask him to clean the slate again. He did it once 2,000 years ago, and that's it. We just thank God for the forgiveness he gave us then, and we thank him for his love, and we move on and you know, of course, try to be better. But one of the main things I want you guys to get out of this camp is how special you guys are in God's eyes and in our eyes, but just how much he loves you, how much he's done for you, and that you guys are eternally secure. Your identity is in Christ. You're his child. He loves you. And nothing you can do can ever change that. So just want to thank you guys for letting me talk to you this morning. And just remember those things. And I love you guys.